Messing with us. So we won't be able to key in any updates to Facebook or Twitter, or actually we'll do it the old-fashioned way. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome into a very, very special edition of Sports Club. We're going to talk a little bit about the baseball all-star break, talk some men's tennis at Wimbledon. We're going to talk about some Wayne Rooney. One of my favorite players, but also he's made some headlines here, some good headlines for once. You know, usually we hear our sports stars, and we only hear about them for crazy things. Wayne did a pretty cool thing, so we'll talk about that in a minute. Of course, my special guest at the back end of the show is Marty the Moth Martinez, otherwise known as Martin Kazaus. May remember him. He not only is on Lucha Underground, in fact, he just had a fantastic match with Phoenix on last night's show, and we actually recorded this interview right before that. So it was a fun talk. Runs about 25 minutes or so. It'll be on the back half of this show. I think you guys will really enjoy that. I'm going to break down WWE Great Balls of Fire, which was just last weekend. We're going to talk about the ESPYs, and who knows what else we'll get into. You know what? Let's start with the ESPYs. Let's start with the ESPYs right out of the gate. And the reason why I want to talk about the ESPYs is because Peyton Manning apparently could be a great comedian. I know he probably read a lot of jokes that some people said here and there, but so what? But you know, he had some pretty funny jokes, and I'll go over those here in a second. Peyton did some pretty funny things, actually. Let's try to find some of those. Some of the funny jokes he told. I do like that he gave a shout-out to the Falcons. Said very much, hey, give them credit. Falcons are going to be back, And he said he wanted to make sure and go ahead and put that on the record early in the show, because about three quarters of the way through, the Falcons would stop paying attention, which I thought was pretty funny. You know, if you can't laugh at yourself, then you can't laugh at anybody. At one point, Peyton was talking about a gymnastics team, and he said this gymnastics team was real good. And that it was so good that Kevin Durant told him that he wanted to play for them next season. Kevin Durant had a look like, I think we call that the eat crap look. And to finish it off, Peyton finished it with, that not only did he want to play for him, but that they probably couldn't make this team. Isn't that right, Russell Westbrook? Which got some pretty good cheers and jeers from the crowd. I'm not going to go over all the jokes he did, but there are two more that I thought were really funny. Former ESPY host and WWE superstar John Cena, you know, we talk a little wrestling here, kind of got caught in the middle of everything. He was on stage next to Manning and swimmer Ryan Lochte. We all know about what Ryan did over the last summer in Rio. To which Peyton said, quote, "John Cena is an athlete, the same way Ryan Lochte is a reliable witness," unquote. Whew. Wow. That's a good one. That's a real good one. And not to be outdone, Julian Edelman, who came up to... Let's see, he came up to get to receive an award and said, "I have to admit, Peyton's killing it tonight. We are indoors, though." So, you know, jabbing right back, that was pretty funny. Going on to the actual ESPY Awards, I want to recap them. There were some good moments. Sometimes it seems like Lifetime Achievement Awards seem like career awards, and sometimes they're pretty well on. Best Male Athlete went to Russell Westbrook. Okay. Best Female Athlete went to Simone Biles of the Olympics. Yeah, she straight up killed it. So, okay. You know, none personal to Simone Biles, as good as she is. Serena should have took that, but maybe they wanted to give it somebody different this year. I had a conversation earlier today where I said Serena Williams may be one of the top five athletes, you know, of at least my generation. It's unreal, the domination that she's had over women's tennis. It's to a dominating level that it may even be a little past what Tiger Woods did in his run in golf. Back to some of these accolades, though. Best team went to the Golden State Warriors. All right, fair enough. Dominating fashion win in basketball, I'll give you that. Best play went to Aaron Rodgers when he passed to Jared Cook versus the Cowboys. Cowboys fan. Thanks, A-Ron. A-A-Ron. But also as an Aaron Rodgers fan and in recent converted fan, it was one of those throws that you would typically say, gosh, people like Brett Favre are the only people that make that. And at this point, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers may be the only ones that can make those passes the way they do. Best championship performance went to Kevin Durant of the Golden State Warriors. So, you know, he got to make up for it because he got an award and Manning didn't. Best breakthrough athlete went to Dallas Cowboys' own Dak Prescott. He had a fantastic rookie season. Best record-breaking performance went to Michael Phelps with his 28th career Olympic medals. 28th career. Best upset was Mississippi State defeating Connecticut to stop the big streak in women's college basketball. Best game went to the Super Bowl from this past season where the Patriots defeated the Falcons. That was a great one. Best moment was the Cubs winning the World Series. Speaking of which, they did trade for Quintana from the White Sox. And honestly, the main way I heard about this trade was not from baseball or even pro sports whatsoever. But as part of this trade, the Cubs have sent Matt Rose, who used to play collegiately for Georgia State, here right down the road. He's part of this trade package, and he's been sent to the White Sox now. So good luck to you, Mr. Rose. You know, better shot of you making a roster over there because the Cubs have a lot of young talent. So, you know, maybe you can work yourself through the system, doing well. If you're part of a trade package, you're not throwaway. So, good luck to you. Best female U.S. Olympic athlete went to Simone Biles, of course. She started to clean up. Best coach went to Bob Hurley Sr. of Anthony High School. He's got a real cool write-up if you want to check that out. I think ESPN.com had that write-up. Best WNBA player went to Candace Parker of the Sparks out in L.A. Best male college athlete, Deshaun Watson. Now, you know, former Clemson, now with Houston. Best female college athlete went to Kelly Barnhill from Florida. You look her up, too. She is a dominating force. Best male action sports athlete went to Mark McMorris. Best female action sport athlete went to another snowboarder, Anna Gasser. I'm just going to kind of go through some of these. I feel like they could have phrased this one a little different, but congratulations to Steve Serio from wheelchair basketball. He got best male athlete with a disability. Yeah, I think you could say that one a little differently. Becca Myers from the Paralympic swimming team got the same award for females. Best comeback athlete was Jordy Nelson. Everybody yelled at me for getting Jordy Nelson in the fantasy league. I believe he had, it was like 1,300 yards receiving and 12 touchdowns, so keep laughing. Best NBA player, LeBron James, because SB people know what they're talking about. He should have got MVP, different story. Best MLB player, Mike Trout. Okay. They like him better than Harper, even though Harper's more entertaining. And they're a coin flip, honestly, talent-wise. So, okay. Sid the Wiz Crosby gets best NHL player. Best driver goes to Lewis Hamilton of Formula One. Ouch. He's a good driver, but none of the NASCAR guys? Ouch. Best male golfer goes to Sergio Garcia because when he won the Masters, it was fantastic. Roger Federer got the tennis player for the male side. Serena gets it for the female side. Davi Villa of New York City Football Club got the best MLS player. Best jockey goes to John Velasquez. And best bowler goes to Jason Belamonte. So, you know, pretty good, right? Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. You know, the ESPYs each year is something that I've thought about going to. Maybe I'll try to make it to next year's. Seems like a pretty fun thing. I've always wanted to try to go to it, not because it's an award show, really, or not just because it's ESPN. It seems like a lot of fun. The athletes really enjoy it. So, but, yeah, That's the ESPY Awards for a lot of hijinks and Bill Murray making an appearance, plugging the Cubs. Never a bad thing. There is not enough room on screen for all the stuff I'm trying to do. But, you know, moving on, let's talk some Wayne Rooney. Wayne Rooney, one of my favorite soccer stars. And not just because he's one of the few that I've actually known of, but no, I've learned a lot more over the years. Soccer's really growing. It's really growing here. When Wayne Rooney was a young kid, he signed with Everton, which is a pretty good soccer organization out in the EPL English Premier League. And then when he got a little older, he signed with Manchester United, made a boatload of money, and did things like set their scoring record and just be a fireplug of a player. Well, given the opportunity to return, he recently did that. He spent 13 years with the Manchester United and was able to go back to Everton. And in his return to Everton, he curled in a shot from about 30 yards in the 35th minute. And it's really a different part of his game. Usually he's a fire plug that gets out in front and gets some cool little tap-in goals and tap around the goalie. To bend one in from 30, that's almost taking one out of page of Mr. Beckham, who was very good at doing that. He's actually only 31, which is crazy. It seems like I've been watching him play forever, so maybe I've been watching him play since he was like 16. Fantastic player. Shout out to you, Wayne Rooney. Keep doing what you're doing. And that's our soccer for now. the Atlanta United have a few games coming up. Can we get those up real quick? All right. Here we go. The next time they will play will be next Friday against Orlando City Soccer Club. And after they do that, they will have a game the following Saturday against Orlando City. That will, let's see, next Friday's game will be in Atlanta, and that will be broadcast on ESPN2. It's a 7 p.m. start, and the following Saturday's game will be in Orlando City, or in Orlando, I guess. And that's a 4:30 start. No idea yet what that could actually be on, but there's our soccer minutes for the show. You know, as always, if you guys want to chime in on the show, you can hit us up on all the social medias. You guys know how to get to us there. And, of course, if you want to call into the show, I'll take some callers tonight if we get a few. 347-826-7448. Again, 347-826-7448. I will... I will definitely take a few calls if you got them. We'll talk about anything sports related you can. Do keep it PG as best you can. We do have younger listeners who listen to this, and I want them to have the same great experience as anyone else who may be listening. So, you know, let's try to keep it PG if we can. If we have a problem with that, then I have to, you know, have to get all high and mighty about it and kick you off and block your number. And I don't want to do that. You know, we can be civilized adults. We can be civilized people. Because at the end of the day, remember, I want you to be a good human first, then you can be whatever. You know, be a good human, then be, you know, a good plumber, then be a good politician, then be a good baseball player, you know. Just be a good human first. Oh, here we go. Let's talk about Great Balls of Fire, the WWE pay-per-view from last weekend. The kickoff match was Neville versus Akira Tozawa. I really like what Tozawa's been doing here recently, and Neville is one of the most consistent guys they have, not just in the Cruiserweight 205 Live division, but Neville has really went to a whole different level with his King Neville and just the fantastic heel work he's been doing. He was able to pick up the victory on this one after Tozawa got kind of caught on the ropes, kind of crossed himself. And as he goes to fall off, he caught a kick, and that was pretty much the end of that. Then they started off with Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, which was as good as advertised. Seth Rollins is coming around a bit. I felt like his game was lacking a few things, but facing somebody like Bray Wyatt will bring out those other sides. So Seth's continuing to do well. Bray Wyatt gets a straight-up clean victory on a pay-per-view. Yeah, it's like you know, it's like John Cena winning here recently. It doesn't happen very often, so, you know, good for you, Bray Wyatt. You know, we're Camp Bray here. I'm glad he got the straight-up victory. They had the rematch on Raw. Nah. I don't really like rematches that follow great pay-per-view matches, so WWE keeps dropping the ball there. Next match on the card was Enzo Amore versus Big Cass. Enzo was able to come out and kill it, you know, just kill a promo, and kill it in a good way, get real passionate, get real fired up, and then Big Cass come out and put his big boot in Enzo's face, and it was all but a squash match. I don't know. People are saying there's some backstage stuff on each one of these guys that they're kind of ruffling some feathers, but yeah, that's neither here nor there because I'm not a big dirt sheet guy. The Miz and Dean Ambrose squared off for the 7,465th time in the last, 6 months? The Miz gets the victory as they should call him the Miztourage, but instead they call him the Miztourazzi, which is Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. But, hey, those guys are back on TV now, and they actually make a pretty good posse when they pair up. Now, That brought up the 30-minute WWE Iron Man tag team match for the Raw Tag Team Championships between Cesaro and Sheamus and the Hardy Boys. Once again, not the biggest Hardy fan in the world anymore. I liked them when I was in high school and it was their heyday. They are a little older, but at least they've kind of honed that in and started to do more veteran-related things as opposed to trying to continue to be themselves. They still do some of their staples, but the Hardys are getting more solid and more solid, so good to see that. But Cesaro and Sheamus were able to squeak out a victory in this. This is one you want to watch. If you have the WWE Network, if you don't, you should get it. It's only $10 a month, and you can watch anything you want, especially after it's if it's already happened, you can watch it, including, I believe, Raw and SmackDown like the day after. So, you know, don't even need cable for that. But go back and watch this by far. This is a fantastic match between five guys who are some of the best wrestlers in the company right now, especially in the tag team division. Alexa Bliss took on Sasha Banks for the Women's Championship. Alexa Bliss was able to pick up the victory, I believe by count out, but I don't understand why they push Sasha so much. It's amazing that I think Alexa has been in the business half as long as Sasha, and she is at least twice as good. They keep pushing Sasha, even though she doesn't do much to earn it. If you're in a gauntlet match and one of your opponents takes out four or five other people, and then you take out the one at the end, that doesn't mean you're better than all those other people. It just means you beat one person. So that's my issue there, but, you know, at least she didn't win. So it was able to move past from there. Of course, that brought up the two big heavyweight fights, the ambulance match between Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. You ever want to see a rhino and a gorilla fight? That's pretty much what happened here. It was a pandemonium at the zoo. These two beat the holy hell out of each other. It was actually really, really good. We got to see Roman Reigns evolve a little more. We got to see Braun Strowman come up a level. These guys are feature players. Whether you like them or not, these guys are fantastic. Finish on this one. Strowman was sitting on the back deck with both doors open of the ambulance. Roman Reigns went to spear him into it. He moved out of the way. Roman kind of lunged himself into it. He slammed the doors. Afterwards is the most interesting part. Afterwards, Roman Reigns comes busting out of the back, kicks the doors out, attacks Braun Strowman, throws him in the back, throws the driver out, decides to drive it backstage. As he's driving backstage, you see the tractor trailer, decides to gun it going backwards and slams the back of the ambulance into a tractor trailer. The front part of it was pretty entertaining. Braun come out kind of cut up a little bit, refused medical attention, and walked off. The reactions backstage were pretty crazy, actually. A lot of people were really doing a good job of selling what was actually happening with this. And in the middle of them trying to sort out all the stuff, and they actually had the fire department come and use the jaws of life to cut the door open to get him out. I think he was supposed to come out the back, but it pinned the doors in where he couldn't actually get out. So it was good that they showed up. They got him out of there. Everybody checked out okay. While they were trying to do this, Heath Slater and Kurt Hawkins had a match. We saw about half of it. Heath Slater ended up winning. And, you know, hey, those guys get pay-per-view money now. So, you know, Heath Slater's got kids, and Curtis Hawkins is and Kurt Hawkins is, I don't know, he probably could use the money too. So good they got their bonus. That led us up to Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe for the Universal Championship. These are two big beasts. This is another one here. This is it's like if you see Game of Thrones and you see two giants fighting or something like that. Yeah, that's what this was. This was crazy. If it was blended up with a car wreck or something like that. But Universal Championship, this thing went a solid 12 minutes. It didn't need to go any more than that. Joe actually had the upper hand because he attacked Lesnar and put him through an announce table before it all happened. So he had the advantage for a while. Then Brock was able to make a little bit of a comeback. And after being put in the Coquina Clutch, otherwise known as a version of the rear naked choke by Joe, Lesnar stood up, flipped him around into an F5, and said goodnight, Alice, because that was just it was a fantastic pay-per-view. It was a fantastic ending. really none of the matches disappointed. There wasn't one that I didn't understand why it was on the card or why they booked it a certain way for the most part. So, you know, good for them. Good for them being able to put together another fantastic pay-per-view. It makes it worth it. $10 and you can see everything they got on there, and you can see all the live pay-per-views, and all you need is an internet connection. How hard is that? Go get you a Google Chromecast and cast it to a TV if you want, or hook your computer or laptop to a TV. There's all kinds of stuff you can do. I mean, this is, what are you going to do? Pay $99 to see Mayweather McGregor? Just watch all the press conferences. They'll be better than the fight anyway. Get WWE Network and you know, and go watch some fun stuff. But, of course, that leads us, as we're finishing up, before we get to the Marty the Moth interview coming up very shortly. What we got left? Let's talk a little men's tennis. Now, the top four ranked people coming into Wimbledon for the men. Number one, Andy Murray. I wonder if he's related to Ann Murray. I don't think so, but Andy Murray was number one. Number two is Djokovic, I believe. Number three was Nadal, and number four was Federer, in some order, something like that. All right, so in order, as of a few minutes ago, because I switched by to look at it real quick. I didn't see any alerts earlier. Djokovic had a knee injury, but not before Andy Murray or Nadal actually went to five sets and lost the tiebreaker. A day later, Andy Murray goes to the tiebreaker, a fifth set tiebreaker, and loses. That match was crazy too. And at the current moment, Djokovic had a quad injury, I believe, so he had to retire from during the second set of his. That only leaves Federer. As far as all the top guys, I mean, there's a the guy who beat Andy Murray is a American, and this is the first time in a long time, I think, of a major tournament that an American has made it to a semifinal since, like, I think they said 07 or 09, like U.S. Open or something. I mean, we got to get some Americans in there. I know these guys are fantastically good, but, wow. I'm a big Federer fan, though, so want Federer to continue to do well. Actually, the Nadal and Giles Muller, it went to the five-set match I was talking about in the round of 16. This match went 4 hours and 48 minutes. Wow. Now, don't lie out there. There's not many of anybody out here that can do anything for 4 hours and 48 minutes. But, wow. These matches just go forever, and they're some of the most competitive ones. Try to catch the rest of the Wimbledon tournament. They're down to, I believe Venus just made it to the women's final. I don't know if Serena's up for the other spot or not, but definitely try to catch women's tennis and definitely try to catch the men's side, because Federer is the lone name at the top, you may know, and we're going to have people like Muller and some of these other guys that they're going to be fighting for those spots. So it's always fun to see somebody different, and you'll get to see Federer in the process. So definitely check all those out. The real thing I want to hit on with the All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby was the Aaron Judge show, but it really showcased the young home run hitters in the game, which is what it should do. You know, Bellinger and Sanchez and Giancarlo Stanton, Mike Moustakas. It really showcased that the young talent, there's a new wave coming that is just, you know, it's incredible to watch. So, congratulations to Aaron Judge on that. With the All-Star game, game was pretty cool. Kind of went back and forth. These pitchers really take it seriously, and I'm glad they do. It's not a clown game to them. They don't want to give up runs at any point. I heard Andrew Miller say that a handful of times. Even though he got to get caught by Sanchez from the Yankees, who he pitched to a few times when he was with the Yankees, He said that was kind of cool because, you know, didn't really have to go over a lot of strategy because we knew him. We could kind of look at him and go, okay, here's what we want to do, and, you know, they go on from there. You get the late heroic home run by Robinson Cano. It's not really a walk-off. It's in the top of the inning, but it was the game-winning home run. So congratulations to the American League on that one. But the main thing that I really liked was, and not because I'm a fan of both these guys, but at one point they would talk to various people while they were on the field, while they would do other stuff, you know, like kind of like people do for celebrity softball games and such. In this case, Joe Buck, during the inning, was talking to right fielder Bryce Harper, and they were going back and forth, and, you know, he was asking him different stuff. And then Bryce Harper came up with his own question for Joe Buck, where he said, what do you think about the Cowboys this year? Do you think Dak can repeat the way he did and Ezekiel Elliott and all that? Which, what a fantastic thing to ask Joe Buck of all people. It's him and Troy call pretty much every Cowboys game. Not to mention Joe Buck is one of the best announcers in the world. So they kind of go into that thing there. Well, last time I checked, Bryce Harper's never pledged an allegiance to any football team. We know he grew up in Vegas, so I guess he's a Cowboys fan, which is another win for me when my favorite baseball player likes my football team. But at the same time, it also showed us that Bryce Harper could be a fantastic announcer. Like, we thought A-Rod's good. Bryce Harper, I mean, if something stupid happened tomorrow, he could be an announcer and he'd be fantastic. I like that they did this and they had fun with this game. They were able to talk to a lot of these guys during the game and get kind of that fun vibe and atmosphere without really messing anything up. So, you know, kudos to baseball for figuring it out and trying to get people a little more involved. But, you know, that's going to do it for me for the first half of the show. The back half of the show will be me talking to Martin Kazaus, otherwise known as Marty the Moth Martinez, on Lucha Underground. I said it's I think it's about 30 minutes or so. So I'm going to play that here in a minute, and then we'll do our goodbye and go home right after that. So stay tuned for Marty the Moth interview, and I'll see you on the other side of it right here on Sports Center, or Sports Club, rather. I'm going to get smacked for that one. Right here on Sports Club.
Joining me at this time is our very special guest, and he's lighting it up on Lucha Underground right now. He is actually one of my favorite guys on the indie scene, and we'll get into how much I like Lucha Underground here in a minute. But he is Marty the Moth Kazaus. How you doing, Marty?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. Looking forward to you're actually on tonight's episode against Phoenix, the second round of the Cuerto Cup. Obviously, I don't want to give out too many spoilers on that, but, you know, Phoenix is no joke. He's the first Triple Crown winner in Lucha, and he's also the first world champ they had. What's it like working with people like that?
Well, that whole roster has just got a list of accolades that's insane. So yeah. Pretty much any match that I have been having in Lucha has been with people with such accolades. So just working there, period, has been nuts. I'm glad I carved out my little niche about it, but Phoenix is so good. Especially, he doesn't speak a lot of English, so it's really fun working him because there's that different dynamic of his style. Mm-hmm. But also it's fun because putting them together in the match is fun, too, and we're buddies anyway, so it's always fun to try and figure out a match, and neither of us speak the same language either, so it's kind of fun playing around. So I love Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, wrestling being a universal language, so to say, the same way music can be, too, that's how people that even don't speak the same language can have just a killer match like this.
Yeah, and there's going to be some fun for the rest of this season with Phoenix and me. We're going to dive into some stars. I'm not going to give any spoilers alerts or spoilers away, but there's a lot of pain coming for some certain parties in this story.
Awesome. And, you know, before we get into the Moth character, because I know you had that live, the Facebook Live thing or whatever the other day at the airport where you answered some of this, and I'll get to those fan questions in a minute as well. What's it been like? Because actually part of the Lucha Libre thing that people don't realize is that men and women go at it all the time on this thing, and it's perfectly fine. WWE has policies, other people have policies, but in Lucha, anybody can go against anybody, and you've gotten to work with, I mean, your storyline sister, Mariposa, she's one of the best women on the indie scene. You got Sexy Star, who is a legend, Eva Lees. What's it like working with these women in Lucha?
It's fun because they have accolades in the women's division of the places they've been. It's fun to play with the different dynamics between the storyline you tell when you're fighting a woman versus when you're fighting a Joey Ryan. So I actually thoroughly enjoy it, and I think that gives Lucha a little bit more credibility, or makes it a little bit more different than all these other places where they have the rules or regulations, because you're not going to see this anywhere else.
Oh, absolutely. And you happen to mention one of my other favorite indie guys. I've been a Joey Ryan fan for years. He's done exactly what you're doing now, is he just carved out his own niche to where he just it's unbelievable the following he has. And he goes, you go to one creepy level, he goes to the other creepy level, and you guys would actually make a cool tag team. But if that does happen, I don't want to spoiler alert anybody here either.
If that does happen, I think we might have to up the ratings on Lucha Underground.
Yeah, I think we'd be an R+ at that point, maybe.
Absolutely. I love Joey. He's a good guy. I've been with him since he had, like, a handkerchief on his neck. I worked a lot of the South California scene a little bit with NWA stuff with him. He's a goof, and I've loved watching where he's at now. He sticks up a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Too. He sticks his neck out for wrestling when people kind of take their turns or trying to give us crap.
Absolutely. He's always one of the first to, in fact, he'll jump the line sometimes to defend it. And that's something to admire for somebody that respects the business like all of us here at the show.
Absolutely.
Now, I said something about it a while ago, so kind of give everybody kind of the brief thought process or what went into going from kind of where you started with Lucha Underground to where now you're Marty the Moth and the work you're getting to do with Melissa and everybody.
So kind of how it came about and how it got evolved to where it evolved?
Yeah. I mean, I know you mentioned the other day on that Facebook thing I was talking about, the kind of serial killer Ed Gein influence. I know a lot about Ed Gein, too, because one of my favorite bands, Mudvayne, did a song about him, so I decided to kind of look into him. I definitely see the Ed Gein influence in there, but kind of how did the Moth come about?
Well, really, Lucha Underground, they wanted me on the show and they needed a comedic relief guy. And with the other stuff that we tried didn't work. They made me a magician at first. They had me go out just as Martin Casals, the half-breed heartthrob gimmick I used to be. This is kind of what they came up with when I was able to come back. There was a concussion in the first season. There's a whole story about that. Because I had a concussion the first season. That's why you don't see me most of the first season. And so they had a little bit of time to think. And part of the Moth tribe is one of the tribes in the Aztec temple. So they actually created this character for me. And they came up and said, you're part of the Moth tribe. You're kind of like a big kid and you're not all quite there. Go. And that's kind of what we started with. So it kind of evolved from there. During practice one time, I was a rehearsal for the first day I was going to have my first match. I was goofing off with Melissa Santos because I'm pretty much goofing around as much as I can at all times. I whispered something into her ear. And Krista Joseph stopped me and said, well, do that again. And what, whisper in her ear? And said, yeah, do it like real creepy. Flap your arms like a moth. That would be hilarious. Should we do that? And then that's kind of how that got created by Krista Joseph just stopping me while I was goofing off at Melissa Santos. And that's kind of been what a staple of mine is, messing with Melissa. That's kind of how we started. And then that's how we got to that first signature creep out level with Melissa Santos.
Of course, it helps when you're with somebody as professional as her, because she has become a bona fide star because of Lucha. Not only is she a great announcer, but just the things she does for the business and the way she works and everything, she's got to be fun to work with.
She's very fun. One thing about her is I never tell her what I'm going to do when she's announcing me. She just knows I'm going to mess with her. So sometimes I'm being really creepy because I'm really trying to break her of her character, make her laugh, make her actually be creeped out, and I think she channels that pretty well. I don't know. Either she's a great actor or she might be actually really creeped out. But credit to her. It's like you're trying to make her laugh. I've whispered the most random stuff in her ear. I can't even think of what I said to her, but I said some crazy crap in her ear just to try and make her laugh, and she just won't do it. So if you guys got any crazy things, what the fans think would make Melissa Santos crack and laugh while she's announcing me, I'd like to hear them.
Well, I could send you some off the show, but if you wanted to, you could quote you could quote a Bloodhound Gang song. I don't know if you remember the Bloodhound Gang, but they have one.
Do the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, that was their baby. That was one of their big hits, but they have one about, I think it's the lap dance is always better when the stripper's crying, but the line from that particular song is, I would skin you like a deer and wear your face like a princess or something like that. And it goes to this.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
It just says something like that to where the first time you hear it, I actually paused it. And I looked at the people sitting around me, and I went, you guys heard that right. That's some deep stuff.
And people rocking their heads to this.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Pop writes some crazy lyrics. If you ever look up some of his stuff, you could probably just recite Jimmy Pop lyrics, and it would every time she'd probably go, how many songs do they have?
Well, like you said, you researched Ed Gein a little bit. That sounds right up Ed Gein's alley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's definitely right up his alley. I was pretty sure he was the one obsessed with his mother, and after doing a little bit more research right beforehand, yeah, he was, for people that don't know, I'll save you the time of looking up Ed Gein. He skinned a few people and made monuments and trophies out of bones and skin and such like that. He was a little obsessive about the human race, I would say.
And he's actually what... people got the inspiration for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre from. It's part of him and some other characters put together.
Yep. And all those characters put together is how Rob Zombie came up with the House of a Thousand Corpses crew.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Zombie's a big serial killer fan. But let's get back to it. We'll talk Rob Zombie later. But you're actually quite the athlete. You were if I read it correctly, you were a four-sport athlete, including lacrosse and football, that you actually passed on offers to do that, I guess, in college to work on your studies more, correct?
Correct, yes.
So lacrosse is kind of becoming big out here on the East Coast. Actually, the hometown Georgia Swarm just won the pro lacrosse championship. So it's kind of blossoming here, but what is it about lacrosse that just kind of captured your attention?
Honestly, I was playing lacrosse because I needed something to do athletically. Track wasn't doing it for me. Really just the fact that I get to hit somebody. I missed that in football. And, so like, that's kind of what I did. It was very, very kind of familiar movements and stuff to football. I actually played defender. So all I did was make sure they don't score and knock people on their butts, which I was a receiver. All I did was pretty much block and catch balls and run away. So it was just very similar movements, and it kind of just let me hold on to those football times where I knew I didn't want to go and do too much in college. But so I really enjoyed lacrosse, and that's mostly just because I missed football. But after I played it just a couple times, I fell in love with it. I actually started the lacrosse team at Westminster College. I started the first club team, and I think – now they actually are an official club and now a team, too. If not, they will be very shortly. So I love that sport, and it's getting more and more popular here in Utah, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually a really cool sport. It used to be kind of like polo. It was kind of more of a prep thing around here. And then, like I said, especially in Georgia, it's just blossomed into a full-blown sport everywhere now.
Yeah, it's exciting. Now I'm seeing it more on like ESPN, et cetera. That's good. I love that sport. It's fun to watch. Something like baseball isn't fun for me to watch.
Right. I'm with you on that one. I catch a lot of crap over here for not watching baseball, but I was like, it's hard to watch nowadays.
Cueto's got me trained to watch violence now.
Speaking of him, that brought up a fan question, and I apologize because some of these fans did not give me their names nor any way to identify them. But one fan wanted to know, what's Dario Cueto like off camera?
Freaking adorable, honestly. Actually, he's very much Dario Cueto off camera too. It's just without the accents real. He's an actor. He's single. So what you would assume like the Playboy Dario Cueto life is, that's pretty much the real Phil. And Dario Cueto, he has a sailboat. So he takes Worldwide Underground, like Taya and John. And so he takes them sailboating. I feel like he's the real life Bruce Wayne, and then he gets to play it on TV now too.
Oh yeah, his what he does on screen is as fantastic as what you're doing with the moth thing. Is every time I know he's on, I know some kind of chaos and violence is going to happen, and I know I'm going to like it.
Yeah, and he's so good at acting. Actually, why I said he was adorable is because the first day I met him, or the first weekend, he didn't know anything about wrestling. He's just a straight actor, and he's a very, very good one. So he started asking me, how does this wrestling work? You guys wrestle, like, every weekend, or, like, you do this here in Los Angeles, or what? So it was funny to explain to Dario Cueto, before he was Dario Cueto, kind of how the world of wrestling works, and then hanging out with him later, and he goes to, like, these magic shows, and he's, to me, the real-life Bruce Wayne. So,
wow.
Dario Cueto is Dario Cueto.
Wow, maybe we should line him up in the next couple of weeks and have him on. I bet he'd be fantastic.
He would definitely be fantastic.
Now, of course, that means our show would take a deep, dark turn, but my normal co-host, he won't be with us on tonight's show. But we're both big wrestling fans, big wrestling nuts, and the show could take a deep, dark turn. I think it would actually be better sometimes.
Hey, I very much live in the deep, dark turn for my entire Lucha career right now. So we're going to go even deeper and darker. So it's okay
exactly.
To go there sometimes.
Absolutely. You just you got to make sure you don't stay too long.
Exactly.
Of course, we're talking with Martin Cazales, otherwise known as Marty the Moth, that you will see just so everybody knows about when we're recording this. You'll see him in about 30 minutes on the East Coast as he wrestles Phoenix on Lucha Underground on the El Rey Network. That's a fantastic network as well. Another fan question real quick. This is from Joe. Joe wanted to know, what is your workout like, and do you have any fitness or nutrition tips?
Really, I believe fitness is like 80% diet and then 20% of working out. At least, I think I might even be to 90%. Really, I am not a Johnny Mundo who works out for fun. I pretty much do GDP yoga, and then I'll do sparing workouts on certain body parts when I have spare time. But I really do mean GDP yoga, honestly. That's actually helped me a bunch in my flexibility and actually being able to let me move around. That's pretty much it. Most of it, my stuff I do is diet. I open up a supplement company, so I have the right vitamins in me. I just eat very freaking good with my personal trainer, and I eat every 3 hours. So it's actually pretty simple. Most of my diet is, or most of my working out and diet routine is mostly diet.
And you're not the first person to ever say that, let alone on this show, but to me in general, because I know a lot of athletes, know a lot of trainers, and every one of them say the same thing. It's mostly diet, and then it's actually the exercise part of it, and the workout part of it is just kind of chiseling away at the masterpiece, so to say. But you're also not you're not the first person on this show, the first featured guest to mention DDP yoga. I actually have some of DDP yoga's disc over here next to me, next to the desk. I guess I need to bust these out because I've had hockey players. I've had coaches, I've had football guys, everybody keeps saying DDP yoga, and I still stand by the statement that DDP is one of the most genuine guys I ever met in the wrestling business. So I guess you got me this time, Diamond. I guess I'm going to actually have to try your stuff.
Well, I'm glad I was the last straw to break the back, finally, to get you to try it, because it's good stuff.
I need to do that. We'll have to make some room here in the studio, and we won't do any videos of me doing it because, gosh, it's not going to be good
on
the first few times.
That's YouTube worthy right there.
Maybe so. Maybe it helped the show out. But now, as you said, you run a supplement business. You are not just a wrestler. You're not just an actor. We'll get into that in a second. You don't just run the supplement business, but you're a stockbroker as well, right?
Yep, that's right.
And you were actually a stockbroker before the Tough Enough stuff, right?
I was, yes. I've been actually in the finance industry for over a decade. I was originally in banking, and now for the past 9.5 years, I was in the stockbroking and the markets. So I've actually did that for longer than I have wrestling, just about.
And was that just an interest, or was that just you were following that career path and then all of a sudden wrestling materialized?
I was just kind of doing whatever jobs was around, just because I had no idea what I wanted to do when I grew up. So I was going through school, and then I was working at the bank because my mom worked there. And so I'm like, oh, I'll go try out go apply for there. So I went there, and then the stockbroking job actually – my friend who was at the banking job sat me down, forced me to fill out the application to do so. So I just kind of fell into all these other jobs. And I learned a bunch of stuff about stocks, and that's going to help me financially. So she actually helped, forced me to do it. I had to pass the Series 7 test, the Series 63 licenses. So if you know what those are very hard financial tests to take and pass. So I ended up getting those, and she ended up not passing those. So I ended up working there, and she didn't.
Wow. Crazy how it works out.
Yeah, I just kind of fell into those jobs, and I learned a lot, but wrestling has always been kind of the goal. It allowed me to do a little bit of wrestling, and they paid me pretty good, so I could buy a little bit more stuff.
That is crazy. And, speaking of WWE Tough Enough, obviously you were on the season. Was that the one that Stone Cold was hosting, if I remember correctly?
That sure is. That's right.
And you were not only the odds-on favorite, but I'm not afraid to say, even if the rest of them were in front of me right now, you should have won the show, but you had the leg injury. What actually happened with that?
I've watched the tape over 1.5 million times. No idea how it actually happened, but I was just walking away from a pin drill, and we don't know if the ring just went wrong or what, or just someone up high saying it's not your time yet. But my ankle just broke when I put my weight on it, just walking out of the ring. I wasn't trying to do anything crazy or even doing a roll or anything. I was just walking, and I put my weight on my foot, and it just snapped. So I ended up having to have surgery a couple weeks after that, and they had to put 2 screws in my ankle. And, so I actually had to put – I still have those screws – in my foot now, and I get to keep them forever. That's a nice little souvenir for WWE Tough Enough. But I have no idea why it happened or how it happened. It was just me walking.
Wow. Well, I'm one of those that believes that everything happens for a reason. So even as bad as that break was, it sets you up for all this other stuff.
Yeah, I actually believe in that 100%. Everything happens for a reason. If I would have won Tough Enough, I've had that question before of what if, and I don't think there's any reason for me to try and figure out what if, because maybe I could have been what Seth Rollins is. Maybe I could have gone and they would have just buried the crap out of me. But there's no attention needed to even go there because I'm happy as hell at Lucha Underground, and I wouldn't have done that without a broken leg.
Absolutely. And what I was going to mention before is I actually believe Lucha is the best wrestling on television right now. I got New Japan right behind that. Then I got SmackDown Raw. You could throw in Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling after that. It really doesn't matter after that. But to me, what you guys are doing with Lucha, it's a must-see every week. I DVR it. Even if I do see it live, I usually go back and watch it 2 or 3 more times because I always miss something. There's so much going on.
There is. And just a little spoiler as well, if you don't know, all the graffiti and everything around there, they're all there for a reason. Even at advertisements, they have the little stuff around it, like the season opening for season 3. There's all this graffiti and everything means something. So you could go back and watch it 4 or 5 times and it's probably still not catch all the stuff. At least still watching it a lot more times because they just hide so much. These writers are so good.
Like little Easter eggs that you would typically find in a Disney movie.
Exactly. The season opener was just a whole bunch of crazy designs, but the designs actually said words. One of the words was, like, Dial of Doom, which was then, later on in the season, turned out to be Kratos Dial of Doom. And, like, all these little words that mean something later, and you won't even catch it till a season later. So these guys got a lot of things planned out, and then a lot of things just kind of happen organically, too.
Wow. Next fan question. They want to know, who is your favorite opponent you've faced so far?
I like a lot of people for different reasons. My most recent one right now is Phoenix, but I like him for different reasons than I like someone like Killshot. So those two right now, I think are pretty high on my top of the list that I fought from Lucha.
All right.
So let's go with Phoenix. Let's go with Phoenix today.
Yeah, we'll go with Phoenix since in about 22 minutes we're going to get to see that match. And maybe I'll live tweet during it. It depends on if we can get all this. It looks like I'm also producing the show tonight because the producer on the other side of the glass is actually watching television. So, yeah, I'll be able to live tweet during this.
I'll probably be doing the same. I'm not sure, but maybe I will be too.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to be doing something special during this, but I don't want to spoiler alert again. I don't give out spoilers as much on this show, so we will move on to the next question. Michelle wants to know, if you could be any superhero, which one would you be?
Mario the Moth.
See, I knew that was coming.
That's what Lucha's created us to be. So that's why you asked about the girls. I probably should have said something about the superheroes. Like, they have created us to be superheroes. And so that's why it makes more sense for guys and girls. And superheroes. I think they should just keep making toys and shit about it. But I'm sorry, I swore. My favorite would probably be Superman. But Batman's getting really close. The last couple things came out with Batman in it. Ben Affleck.
Yeah, actually. See, I'm the same way. Everybody gave him so much crap for playing Batman, and when I watched Batman versus Superman, I went, "That dude's a killer Batman."
Yeah, he was a great Batman. I'm actually pretty excited to see this Justice League movie, and hope they take notes from Wonder Woman. Totally off track, but I really hope they take notes. I went and saw that twice in the theaters.
See, I need to go see that. I didn't get a chance to see that. I had to go out of town for something. But that's also the Marty the Moth answer. Is that Wonder Woman would be the one you go after?
I think Marty the Moth would be a supervillain. So maybe it's the supervillain Marty the Moth, if he's a superhero character, would go after Wonder Woman. Because I guess Marty the Moth likes girls, right?
Hey, exactly. We got to get with the Justice League people that Marty the Moth's got to be in the next movie.
I would be all for that.
Yeah, of course.
I actually got to do stunt double for Aquaman, the guy who plays Aquaman in another one of his movies. So I can always say I worked making Aquaman look good, either way.
What's his name? Jason Momoa. He was on Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah, Game of Thrones, Count, or Drog, something. Drog, I don't know.
Khal Drogo.
Khal Drogo, there we go. My girlfriend's over here freaking out like I'm retarded and not knowing that name, because she's a huge Game of Thrones fan.
Oh, yeah, we are out this way, too. That's why I had to get it right, because I was having a lot of people waving their arms and screaming at me. Are you a part of the Sandy Wexler movie?
I am, yes. What are you doing? Actually, took us out there from Salt Lake to Los Angeles, and I got to spend a week with Terry Crews kind of figuring out moves, what would look good on camera, what moves should we highlight, et cetera. So we went over a few moves, kind of taught him how to bump and et cetera there with Shaq. Shad, the B Shad from WWE.
Shad Gaspard. There we go.
He was there. We had a couple of local guys there. Had us there for a week, kind of figuring out what cool moves. And then in the actual movie, all they had me do was do a shoulder tackle, and then they had me cuddle him and go to sleep. So I got put to sleep by Terry Crews. But, hey, it was great. Like I saw, I got to give Adam Sandler crap. And it was Terry Crews was an amazing dude, and they paid me a great amount of money. So it was a great experience that I kind of actually want to keep doing more and more of.
Oh, I'm a big Sandler fan, a big Terry Crews fan. And actually, Shad Gaspard is from not far from here in Georgia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's from out this way.
Yeah, he's from out this way. Yeah, he's a buddy of mine. He's awesome. Yeah, I did that. If you see him, he was the stunt double for actually Terry himself. So he had this crazy wig on, and it was kind of hilarious to see both Terry and Shad inside those crazy wigs. So if you guys watch it, you'll definitely see me. You won't see Shad unless you kind of cut very slowly, but you probably won't see his face because they're good and it's Hollywood. But you'll definitely see my face as Terry puts me to sleep.
Hey, you know, there could be worse things, and
there's
a lot of people, including myself,
people
that would line up to probably do that.
That's right. And it could be legitimate, too, because Terry Crews is probably in the best shape of anyone that's 48 years old I've ever seen in my life. He is in ridiculous shape. So it's very, very easy to believe that he could put somebody to sleep. Maybe not the way we did it, but he could definitely put somebody to sleep if he wanted to, Terry Crews.
He's 48. He's 48.
He's 48 and has like 6% body fat. It's ridiculous.
Wow. Wow. I got to
get
a move
on
that.
I got to get a move on that. Yeah, right? I'm way younger than that, and I got to get a move on, too. He's whooping me, and he's got a decade on me.
Wow.
And, of course, we're finishing up with Martin Gazelle, also known as Marty the Mop.
Marty the Mop.
Let's see. Last fan question.
Who are your influences?
My influences. Like we talked about earlier, I was a four-sport athlete. One of those sports was football. So when I first started watching wrestling, something that stuck out to me was Goldberg. Because of the football, the spear. So it just resonated with me. And then I was a hardcore, not watched WWF fan. I was a huge WCW guy. So when I finally made the switch after WCW closed down, I saw Shawn Michaels wrestling and was changed forever. Shawn Michaels was the man. So I started watching Bill Goldberg, then I figured out what wrestling is by Shawn Michaels. So those two are my big inspirations.
Hard to go wrong with those.
Yeah, and they're so different and contrasting. Like one just got really interesting, but Shawn Michaels, you can just tell he has fun wrestling, and he could do anything. No matter how old he is, he's just one of those guys that could just pull a five-star match out of anybody. So, Shawn Michaels, still the man, still the best wrestler in the world. That's definitely my inspiration on that one.
Oh, yeah, Shawn's one of those guys that could wrestle a mop,
and you think it was Ric Flair.
Exactly. I would love to be that mop one day.
Right?
Right.
That's right.
And then real quickly,
I was going to ask you about some of your music influences, but
you actually brought up something about Kill Switch Engage, so I'm going to let you kind of get into that a little bit.
Well, not to make any huge spoilers alert until I actually have something signed. Well, you and me were talking about social media earlier and the love-hate relationship that is promoting yourself on the internet. But one of the love parts of social media is I am a big fan of Killswitch Engage. They're a band that probably a lot of people know as any sort of metal scene. I'm working out some deals with them, and hopefully it comes to fruition. So if you're a fan of Lucha Underground and Killswitch Engage, doubly cross your fingers and your toes and everything else you got, because Season 4 might be super fun, especially for the Moth. I'm going to leave that up there. You guys try and figure out what that is. But for the Moth, Lucha Underground, Killswitch Engage, put that all together and let's see what comes out. I'm not trying to say anything until paper has been signed. They reached out to me to start talking over some things, and I was able to create a relationship with Killswitch Engage. So that's definitely part of my love for the social media is, hey, now I'm friends with Killswitch Engage, and we hang out now, and it's fun. So that's why one reason I definitely love social media is opportunities that it gives us. So cross your fingers, because Kill Switch Engage, and hey, maybe we can get some Marty the Moth entrance music out of Kill Switch Engage. I think that would be super fun and right up the alley of Marty the Moth character. So what do you guys think of that?
All right, now, okay, I'm not sure where that echo came from. I think maybe some sort of hold on the studio
right
now.
Cueto, you always want to stop me.
what is actually your finishing move? I know in Lucha, everybody uses all kinds of different things. Do you have an actual finisher?
Lately, I've been using that curb stomp, but 2 weeks ago, I was on Lucha, and I did a finisher just to change it up, try something out, and with the way the fans reacted, because, yes, I do watch what you guys do say, and I shouldn't probably, but you guys have all been very supportive, and thank you for all being loud about watching Lucha. I might actually do a double underhook. I don't know what how to describe it, but I did it 2 weeks ago on Lucha, and I might use that as a finisher now. Now I just got to figure out a name for it. So, but the curb stomp, and then whatever I did 2 weeks ago, that's going to be our finishers from now on.
Maybe a Moth to the Flame or something like that?
I was thinking something like that. I was thinking Lights Out for the curb stomp, because that makes sense. And then Moth to a Flame or something like that for this new one. So we'll see. Maybe the fans have some good suggestions. Maybe get some interaction out of these guys, too.
Absolutely. And, of course, they can find you on Twitter at Martin Kazaus. That is
MartinKazaus.
That's right, Martin Kasaus. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram, the exact same thing. Find me on Facebook, the exact same thing. If you don't know how to spell it, if you put Martin the Moth in Google, my name pops up. MartinKasaus.com is my website. I actually am working out something with Kill Switch that you might, once I get official word, I will be able to tell you guys, but be looking on the site because it might be super sweet if you're interested in Martin the Moth gear. Because some of them is a Mike D of Killswitch is a designer, so put the pieces together. But I pretty much said it already. Is look for some merch that Mike Killswitch Engage may have a piece from. So check that out. Really hit me up on social media because I do everything through there and I give away free stuff a bunch of times. So I'm easy to find.
Absolutely. And Martin, it's been fantastic having you on. I'm going to let you on to the rest of your evening because I think we're both going to live tweet the episode here in a minute.
No, I think so, too. I appreciate you having me on, man. I'm definitely probably going to, debating whether to live tweet it or not, or just kind of watch and see what people say about me. It's kind of fun to see. But maybe I'll live tweet with you. But I'll be watching
and
your live
you
tweet.
Find and if you find your...
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I
and
appreciate
if,
that.
And you find
if
yourself,
in
the Atlanta
area,
hit us up. Maybe we can catch a burger or something.
I'm down. I'll let you know. It's on my social media. So then we'll just exchange info after the show.
And I will
catch
you
on
later down the road. It's been fantastic, and I look forward to this match against Phoenix tonight.
All right. Me too. This is going to be fun.
All right. Well, we will see
you
all later down the road. Thanks, Martin.
And, of course, like I said, that was my conversation with Marty the Moth Martinez of Lucha Underground, otherwise known as Martin Kazaus. I told you that dude was awesome. And of course, while that interview was going, we gave out our social media shout out for the night, which goes to at JoshScobie10. Would love to have you on the show, Josh. We have tons we could talk about. Plus, I want to know more about a couple years ago, I asked him how long it would take for him to teach me to successfully kick a long field goal. He said he can do it in like, I think he said 30 minutes to an hour, and I have to go back and look at it, but. Definitely be interested in trying to check that out or maybe trying to meet up sometime this summer. Or Josh, just having you on the show because you're one of my favorite kickers. You're a fantastic dude. You do so much for the Jacksonville area. And I know the Jaguar fans of the show would love to hear from you as well. But that means our time's up. Appreciate you guys joining us here on Sports Club. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. In a couple weeks, of course, we will probably have Cody back. We will have lots to talk to you about. You'll have lots to talk to us about. Maybe we'll ride a trolley. Who knows? Cody likes to ride the trolleys. We'll have to ask him more about riding trolleys. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Impact Media. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio. thanks to my guest, Martin Kazaus, otherwise known as Marty the Moth Martinez. If you did not see his match against Phoenix last night on Lucha Underground, I implore you, YouTube that, go on Lucha's website, go find that match, go to your DVR, go to El Rey Network, go do something. That, for one, all three matches last night, the whole card was fantastic. You definitely got to check those out. But shout out to everybody else involved. Once again, social media shout out with Josh Scobie at JoshScobie10. Hit up Josh Scobie, tell him he needs to be on the show sometime. But for Martin, for Josh, for Cody, for myself, for the coach, for Reggie, for everybody here at Impact Media, we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Go watch hockey.
I'm taking the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay late, save the time. I can dance, homie, I don't do that. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pounder real fast, just like the percolator.
Missed it by that much.